The Toma VA Medical Center is one of 18 veterans hospitals across the country taking part in the VA's Whole Health Program. WPR's Hope Kerwin has been reporting on it. She's based in La Crosse, where we're reaching her now. Hope, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about how the Whole Health Program, this pilot program, got started.
So my understanding is that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has been working on this Whole Health Program for a few years, but this is the first year that they've really named, you know, as you said, 18 flagship medical centers to kind of develop this whole health system. It's basically, the idea is focusing on, you know, a veteran's or a patient's mental, physical, emotional needs, kind of looking at their long-term health goals and developing a system with how to reach those goals and really looking at their quality of life.
So did Toma apply to get in this program, or how did these hospitals get involved?
It's a little unclear to me. I haven't found that out through my reporting of how these facilities were selected. In talking with officials at the Toma VA, I know that they have been developing, you know, some of these approaches, these kind of alternatives to prescription medications, alternative therapies for dealing with chronic pain for a number of years. And so I think that this is just kind of a continuation of that work, if you will.
So in terms of that chronic pain management, obviously prescription painkillers is one avenue, but they're looking at more of a holistic approach here, perhaps acupuncture, massage, yoga. What are some new avenues that perhaps will be discussed with the patient?
Well, I know that one program that they're really excited about is called Battlefield Acupuncture, and it's actually a series of acupuncture needles in a patient's ear, which has proven to help with chronic pain. And so I know that this is something that has really been they're excited about at the VA, basically, as, you know, they're hearing a lot of feedback from veterans that it's an effective treatment. I know that in talking with officials at the Toma VA, they're working on collecting patient data about, you know, what they're reporting as far as their levels of chronic pain. So, you know, that's obviously a big difference from just a prescription that they might take. I know that they are also are using a program called Healing Touch, which I had never heard of before, but it's described as an energy therapy, and it's meant to kind of help with anxiety and stress levels, and you know, it's meant to kind of, you know, deal with a person's energy.
So this is these alternatives, perhaps, or these supplemental measures in a holistic approach might perhaps cut down on the number of pain meds being given to veterans. Is that part of this goal?
Yeah, that's my understanding, is that they're looking at other ways to manage pain rather than being on a long-term opioid prescription. You know, I think that there is a general awareness in the healthcare industry, not just within the VA system, but in healthcare in general, that you know, the need to cut down on prescribing opioids, because they can lead to addiction, because they can lead to you know, kind of other drug use, and so kind of looking at other ways to help patients manage pain in a healthier manner.
How big of a problem is opioid overprescribing at VA hospitals?
Well, we know. We know that based on some investigations that happened in 2014, when a Marine Corps veteran died at the Toma VA, that there was a culture of overprescribing at the medical center. However, I think that there has, since that time, I think that there has been more awareness about this issue, and that the medical center has taken steps. But I also think the VA system in general has also been looking at at this system. Earlier this year, the Department of Veterans Affairs released their opioid prescribing rates for all of their medical centers. You can access that information online, and they provide the prescribing rate in 2012 and compare it to the prescribing rate in 2017. Looking at that data, it does seem that most medical centers in the VA system have reduced their prescribing rates in the last 5 or so years. And so I think that there's a general awareness about this issue.
Well, how did Wisconsin look in those numbers when you looked at the data?
Yeah, so Toma VA Medical Center's prescribing rate in 2012 was 12%, and then their prescribing rate as of 2017 is 8%. So that's a 38% decline. I think that's about on par with what the kind of national average is for the VA hospitals. So it definitely wasn't the highest prescribing rate on the list. And so there is this sense of improvement.
So there was more of this middle of the pack for Wisconsin when you looked at this data?
That's my understanding.
Why is the VA launching this whole health program now? Do we understand anything from this timeline?
Well, I know that the VA has, they've had kind of these design sites. So they've designated medical centers in 2016 and 2017 to start kind of developing what the system might look like. And so I think the sense is that they have now kind of started to develop some of these pathways for patients to take, kind of what that looks like from start to finish. And so, this is just kind of a natural progression of that movement.
And this whole health program isn't the only thing that Toma VA has focused on in terms of dealing with overprescribing opioids. How else is the Toma VA working on this issue?
In talking with officials at the medical center, I know that they have incorporated a program called Pain University, and so they initially went to those patients that do have a long-term opioid prescription and encouraged them to take this. To participate in this program. I did ask it's not required for those who are receiving a long-term prescription, but it is suggested. And it's an effort to help patients understand where their pain is coming from, what pain is on a medical level, and then kind of progress through that understanding to looking at treatments. And so, understanding kind of traditional medications, treatment, but also then looking at some of these alternatives, exploring other ways to manage pain. And so, as it's called Pain University, I think it's supposed to be, kind of a learning experience for patients so that they can understand their health better.
Well, Hope, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hope Kerwin is WPR's reporter based in La Crosse. We've been talking about how the Toma VA is one of 18 medical centers around the country that is part of the VA's whole health program as the VA looks to incorporate veterans' body, mind, soul, and spirit. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think alternative therapies like energy healing, like acupuncture and massage are helpful for chronic pain? Are you a veteran? Do you think veterans should have access to alternative therapies through the VA? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Coming up, we'll talk with the head of the Toma VA Medical Center. Stay with us. This is the Ideas Network. We're talking about the impact of holistic medicine on veterans and the Toma VA's involvement in the National Whole Health Program. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's check in on how we're doing on our spring membership drive that's underway. And now that spring is in the air, And Chris Molina is here as well, network producer. We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
And we are asking that because it is listener support that makes up the single largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on here on Wisconsin Public Radio. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We're looking for 14 more pledges in this hour. We can do this. 14, doable. It starts with you. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. That means that it's your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Helps pay for the programs that you rely on, and it makes the biggest difference.
Listening to the Ideas Network is a lot like going out for coffee with a smart friend. It's enjoyable, it's informative, it piques your curiosity.
And someone has to pay for it. You make the conversations on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. So give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that is right for you. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio for the shows we all know and love. But WPR is more than radio.
I'm Laurel White, and I am WPR's State Capitol reporter, and I am also one of three co-hosts of our weekly WPR Politics podcast. We really try to have fun with it and make it as entertaining and as accessible for people who might not be into politics, but we're also trying to consider those other political nerds out there that really want to get into the nitty-gritty and some of the fun details of the craziness that is the State Capitol.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's more than radio. And when you give, you're a big part of what makes it all happen.
And you can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Chris Molina on a Tuesday morning. It's listener support that is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during this spring membership drive is so very important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. If so, thank you very much. Please consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll help make this drive successful, and you'll support the programs that you enjoy every single day.
We're still looking for those 14 more pledges to go in the next 27 minutes or so. Your gift right now, this very minute, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of the funding the programs that you enjoy.
Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio, and remember to ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift. Your donation will support the programs that you rely on, and your thank you gift will provide books for young children. So do two good things at once when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Kathleen in Indianapolis, Indiana, who says, "My thanks to everyone at WPR for providing me with insights, laughs, and things to share with my husband every day." Kathleen, thank you so much for that comment. And Kate, I'm seeing all these comments coming in today.
Seattle, Indianapolis.
Exactly. And we get this a lot. We have listeners around the United States, and we have listeners around the world. And we hear from people time and time again, "I moved away from Wisconsin, but I am still listening to Wisconsin Public Radio every single day." Either they want to be connected with what's happening at home, or we hear from people that the public radio where they've gone just doesn't have the same quality as Wisconsin Public Radio. So they tune in online. You know, wherever you're listening from today, we are glad that you are listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. So good morning. Maybe you're listening around the world. Good evening. Wherever you are, thank you so much. And, you know, because we have this service, because we're streaming 24/7, you can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio wherever you go. That costs some money, and that's why we're asking for your support. So help make this great service available for everyone. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Tomah VA Medical Center is one of 18 facilities around the country to move toward a more holistic approach to healthcare. We're exploring how the VA is trying different therapies like acupuncture and massage as part of managing chronic pain. Vicki Brahm is director of the Tomah VA Medical Center. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So why did the Department of Veterans Affairs want to implement a program, you know, like Whole Health? Where did this come from?
Well, Whole Health is actually not a new concept, but it really came from the more foundational conceptual framework of patient-centered care, which has been around a long time. And if you want to put your veteran at the center of care, you really want to take a look at the care from a biopsychosocial context. So really, what does the patient, instead of the pure medical model on what is the best for you in terms of our medical model, what is it that you want to achieve? What will make your life whole? So we really do try and talk to the veteran, give them a whole health coach, figure out what kind of goals that they want to achieve and what would make their life the most fulfilling, instead of just trying to talk to them about what we think they should do. It's like informed decision making. We'll give you the knowledge, we'll give you the care, but what is it you want to achieve? And then expanding alternatives instead of just traditional medications, therapies, clinical touch. It is also psychological expansion of mental health services and non-traditional therapies like meditation, healing touch, aromatherapy, those types of things that are adjunct to the traditional therapies and actually have been showing to have great outcomes.
So who are these whole health coaches, and where do they come in the process of managing a veteran's chart?
Well, there is a national training. These are all, they come from many backgrounds. There's all sorts of disciplines. Any discipline can actually be trained to be a whole health coach. So in order to be officially a whole health coach, you must go through a series of training courses, and then you become certified as a whole health coach.
And how are you seeing this program implemented at Tomah? How is it rolling out?
Well, we've already rolled it out starting in October of 2017. We've trained many coaches. We had 25 already on staff, and then we've hired full-time coaches and gone through the training. Actually, Tomah's done six of the classes, I think, at this time ourselves, and we've now taped it for spread. We're training veterans to assist veterans, as that's one of the pathways. Whole health is really just a system of how you look and how you implement care to the patient. So in that pathway, there are three actual different tracks. You can, the whole health orientation with veterans assisting veterans. There's the well-being programs, which are some that I mentioned earlier, the acupuncture, meditation, the adaptive Tai Chi, healing touch, hypnosis, mindfulness, those types of things. And then you have your clinical care track, which includes the Pain University, some of the mental health treatment programs that we offer, those types of things. So it's really this combined tracks, these three tracks that really encompass all of the care that a patient would need.
We heard a little bit about Pain University with Hope Kerwin, our reporter, earlier, but how have you seen Hope University making an impact on chronic pain for your patients?
Are you talking about the Pain University?
Yeah, the program. Uh-huh.
That particular tract is an adjunct to all of the other things we do. So combined, we've seen a very great impact on our chronic pain users. in addition to Payne University and the knowledge of knowing your pain and understanding your pain so that you can make informed decisions about how you want to treat your pain, you know, we've included things like acupuncture and mindfulness, and we've actually seen about a 37% decrease in opioid use with the integration of those type of therapies.
So you're actually seeing a movement away from opioid prescribing when you look at the data between 2012 and 2017?
Oh, between 2012 and 2017, it's much greater. The 37% is just actually since October of 2017.
Oh, wow.
When you start to look at 2012 to 2017, we've had great strides, actually. In some of our high dose, we've seen a 73% reduction in opioid use. And part of that is that there weren't these alternatives offered. You know, if you're going to take away medication or something someone's been relying on to control their pain, you need to put something in its place. And you need to help patients understand what their alternatives are and look at and assess what they can actually do to control their pain. Now, sometimes it's a meditation, sometimes it's an acupuncture, sometimes it's exercise or physical therapy. So this is where the whole health coaches come in, and that assessment of, you know, where is your pain coming from? What is it you're willing to do? How can we help you? So it's offering alternatives that were not offered before, which has shown great success.
Vicki, what's been the feedback you've received from veterans as you've rolled this out?
The majority are very positive, and actually we've done a lot of interviews with our veterans, even those that were very skeptical in the beginning and have now tried aromatherapy and Tai Chi and some of those things. One of the greatest successes we've had is with our battlefield acupuncture, because we've seen actually with just that a 30% decrease immediately or within a couple days of receiving that therapy. So that's become extremely popular with our veterans and spreading word by word of mouth.
So battlefield acupuncture, one option. There are a lot of different options. Do you see this as kind of tools in the toolbox as you work with veterans on their pain?
That's exactly right. It's just offering lots of tools and then doing a good assessment of what tools will work for you. If one pathway doesn't work, maybe another one will. What is the level of pain that you're willing to live with if you're dealing with chronic pain? And then how do we get you down to that level? We have some really heartbreaking kind of stories from our veterans about, you know, we have some that are completely off the opioids, some that are not but can walk again or can, you know, without their canes or get out of bed without their backs hurting. This is the type of thing that really is a motivator for the staff.
Let's bring in Ross in Madison now with a question. Hi, Ross.
Hi, good morning. I just tuned into the conversation. I just wanted to start it off with a comment that the VA does a great job, but that it is under like a national spotlight, media spotlight, and I think it oftentimes gets a lot of maybe unfair criticism. We don't often get a chance to look at private hospitals and their outcomes and such. So I just wanted to say, you know, I think most veterans would probably agree that the VA does a good job. The question I have is more specific to how are you guys measuring the outcomes of this alternative therapy? That is, it sounds a little bit anecdotal, like, you know, you're hearing that the veterans sort of appreciate some of these alternative treatments, but is there an actual measurement? And then when you talked about the decrease in opioid prescriptions, is that because the physicians and practitioners are actually, in essence, not allowed or not resubmitting the prescriptions? That is, are the physicians kind of forced to cut back from prescribing these drugs?
Ross, great questions. Vicki?
Ross, thank you for bringing that up, because those are two points I really want to clarify. One, the measurement part, we have an oversight, a whole health oversight committee that ensures that the only practices that we would be implementing at the Tomo VA are those that are evidence-based. We've hired a full-time researcher to monitor our baseline and then to monitor the effects of certain modalities. So every modality will have different measurements. For instance, healing touch. So now we measure anxiety. So anxiety pre- and post-treatment scores. So far in fiscal year 18, we have 36% decrease in anxiety immediately following the treatment. Pain is down 54% immediately following the treatment. Now we'll do some more longitudinal studies. And that's going to take a little time because we just started in October. You know, with the battlefield acupuncture, we've been measuring, you know, the decrease in pain. With Pain University, we've got great opioid numbers and functional, like functional capacity. There's a formal measurement for functional capacity, ability to move physically. That's increased over 96%, you know, over 96% of the veterans that have, you know, come into Pain University have had a certain level of increase in functional capacity. I can tell you as the director that all of the messaging that goes to our providers is that, you know, we will never stop all opioids. And there are appropriate times when medication is absolutely needed for chronic pain. The key is to do what is right and what is safe. So what we have done is launch an opioid surveillance committee that looks at veterans that are on high doses or combined doses that they look at those cases and they make recommendations, but they absolutely, if you need to have an opioid, you will get an opioid. And that is the message I think we need to send, is that this is not to stop opioids. Yes, there's an opioid epidemic. Yes, Toma had trouble in 2014 with overprescription of opioids. But the messaging is give it safely, do what is clinically right, and offer alternatives that weren't here before so that veterans can make those choices and get to, live the optimal life that they deserve.
Well, Vicki, thank you so much for taking time for us.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Vicki Brahm is director of the Toma VA Medical Center as we continue this look at alternative therapies for veterans and the VA's whole health program. Coming up, we'll talk with the Veterans Service Officer for La Crosse. But first, let's find out about Wisconsin Public Radio's spring membership drive that is in full swing. I'm here with Chris Molina and the WPR Spring Membership Drive underway. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations, enlightening conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That's because the listener support is the single largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the other shows that you enjoy possible. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We're looking for 10 pledges this hour, and thank you so much if you have already given.
And if you haven't, well, give right now. It is a great time to give here this morning on the first day of our spring membership drive. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy, and your support will be current all year long. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You never know what you're going to hear on the Ideas Network, enlightening conversations like the one that we're having right now about alternative therapies. It's like it's you can bring the information into your life, you can use it in many different ways, but it's thought-provoking conversation, and so you make this possible. This is listener-supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour, you make many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take that few minutes and make your pledge.
Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio. Ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more.
Your thank you gift will provide books for young children during their doctor's visit. Do two good things at once. Support the WPR programs you love and ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall, and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States, it's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meg, thank you so much for being that sustainer. Now you join Meg. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with network producer Chris Molina. We're asking for your support during this spring membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Seven pledges in the door so far this hour, and we are looking for eight more in the next 20 minutes or so. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give, and we're asking for your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. Whole health coaches help VA patients set personal health and wellness goals. They address chronic pain. They work to prevent illness or injury, treat mental health needs. The program also uses alternative therapies like Tai Chi, acupuncture, and healing touch. We're talking about the TOMA VA's involvement in a nationwide whole health program. And it's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's bring in Adam Flood now. He is Veterans Service Officer for the La Crosse County Veterans Office. Adam, welcome to the program.
I appreciate being here. Thank you.
Why do you think the VA wants to implement a program like Whole Health right now?
I do believe that it's partly in response to the overprescribing of the medication back in 2014. But it overall probably woke the VA up to just seeing different possibilities. You know, it is a national movement. You heard that there are other VAs that are participating in this, and they're just looking at veteran care as a whole. How can we help veterans heal without needing to bring them back to medication that could lead to overdoses or to other side effects that could be detrimental to a veteran? So it's just opening up different avenues for the VA and for veterans to start looking at taking care of themselves.
Adam, in your experience working with veterans, have they been receptive? Have they sought out this whole health program?
It's mixed. You know, I have some veterans who actually have been on some of these medications for so long, there is a fear of coming off. It's what they've known. And so getting into something like this, they're not very receptive. It's taking time. I've had one veteran flat out tell me that she's not interested. She just wants to continue on with the care as is. And she hasn't been all that receptive as they talk about it. But then I have other veterans who aren't at a point where they've been on the medication, and they are pursuing this as an option to make sure that they don't get onto that medication and have some type of dependency. So it in my experience of working with some of the veterans, it does come down to where are they at and what point and what are they trying to achieve as they move forward.
We've heard about battlefield acupuncture being one of the more popular avenues to pursue with veterans. Have you found that as well with battlefield acupuncture?
It's something actually newer. I'm still kind of learning about it. I haven't had too many veterans come back to me with it at this time, just kind of informing me of their experience.
Well, you're a veteran of the Iraq War. Based on your personal experience, is this a program you think that could ultimately be really helpful to vets? Is it something that long-term this could really take hold?
I do believe so. You know, looking at different things throughout the nation, whether it be private and or the VA, I think a lot of organizations are trying to move toward this. You know, I would certainly like chiropractic care or massage therapy, you know, is paid for by the VA, but I'm not in a chronic pain. But to have that option as things could develop is certainly a great thing. And I do think that there is overall a change in how our nation is looking at what health is and how do we truly achieve that versus some of the older practices that always were, let's just go to medication. Medication is that that relief. And so this can be very beneficial moving forward. And you know, as the TOMA VA and the rest of the VAs do more studies on what is the actual outcome of this, you know, that will be the true testament of, is this appropriate to actually be offering not only veterans, but potentially then having society look at it as a whole.
Have you talked with and worked with these whole health coaches as they work with veterans, and how have those relationships gone?
I haven't worked with them directly. You know, I sit down more meeting with the director and stuff, and I get more of the information coming back that way. So I haven't really had as much of an opportunity to get those type of experiences on how it
works. Yeah. Adam, how have you seen the impact of opioid overprescribing from your vantage point where you are as a veteran service officer?
You know, I see the veterans with chronic pain. I see that, you know, there is some need for those veterans to be not necessarily on it, but that they just have that dependency. And, you know, you can look in their eyes at sometimes and just see that they're not quite all there, because that medication is dulling not only the pain but other actions that they may have, the thinking, the movement, and everything. So I do see that impact of where a veteran who is on that medication might not be their whole self that they used to be. So it's unfortunate, and hopefully these other ways of relieving the pain might bring their consciousness back, and they might be able to interact in society like they once were able to do before they had to get on the medication.
When we were talking to the head of the TOMA VA, Vicki Brahm, she was throwing out some really impressive numbers. Pain down 54%, 96% to more functional capacity, as they really watch closely the metrics on this whole health program and what these new alternative holistic approaches providing. What do you think about that?
You know, if those are able to maintain, I think this can certainly be a new option for a lot of veterans. And, I mean, you can't argue with numbers like that as long as they are sustainable, and that the veterans who are getting those type of relief, they're able to maintain that.
What do you hope to see this program accomplish for the veterans that you work with day in and day out?
I just hope that the veterans are able to find the care that they want. Like I said, there are some of the veterans who are a little bit hesitant into entering it, and I don't want some of the roadblocks to go up that might prevent them from getting what they currently need, because there is a peace of mind as having some of that medication. But at the same time, I do hope that some of those veterans do open up to these alternatives, do find ways of finding relief, because the overall impact of trying to get these veterans back to a normal baseline, that would be the best case scenario for the VA and for the veterans, just to show that there is some healing taking place for those that have sustained some type of injury while serving.
Let's bring in Carol now, joining us from Oshkosh. Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm a registered nurse, and I'm also a licensed acupuncturist in the state of Wisconsin, and I treat many, many veterans through the VA and the Veterans Choice Program, which we just heard is going to be going away in September. So hopefully the VA will take over what they started with Choice. Anyway, regarding veterans and pain control, I would say most of my patients, it's all chronic pain. They're in their 50s, 60s, 70s. They've been through Gulf War. They've been through Vietnam War. And they probably will be needing treatment maybe for the rest of their life, either weekly or twice monthly, to help keep their pain under control. As far as the battlefield acupuncture goes, in my experience, it's really good for like an acute pain issue, which is why it's called battlefield acupuncture. They do it right away in the battlefield to help with that intense right away pain. But as far as chronic pain, it's just in my experience, it's not very effective. And most people don't realize there are many, many different types of acupuncture treatments, many types of acupuncture therapies. It's not just a one size fits all type of procedure. That's where a lot of issues come in play with just, you know, trying to figure out, oh, we'll just do battlefield acupuncture.
Yeah.
It's not like a pill. You just don't give a one type of a treatment. You have to tailor the treatment depending on the individual and what they're going through at the time.
Carol, thank you so much for calling in. And Adam, you know, Carol's saying it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, whether you're talking holistic medicine or other treatment approaches.
And I would agree, you know, one of the interesting facts that you brought up is, you know, that the battlefield that treats the acute, not the chronic. And that's where I do question, and I would turn to medical professionals on this, of, you know, what are we really seeing? Are we just seeing the short run, or is this for the long-term pain, and how is it really going to relieve everything for a veteran? And that's why, you know, right now this is great, but a few more years of the study and having more veterans enter into the program and just being able to provide those long-term results and making sure that the veterans are receiving everything that they need. And in the meantime, that there's nothing that's preventing them from getting the care that they need at this time if it is some of that medication.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Not a problem. I appreciate your time.
Adam Flood is Veterans Service Officer for the La Crosse County Veterans Office. Earlier, we spoke with Hope Kerwin, WPR's reporter, who has been covering this whole health program story based in La Crosse. And we talked with Vicki Braum. She was here, director of the Toma VA Medical Center. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson, executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's hop over to our spring membership drive that is moving right along on this gorgeous spring-like Tuesday morning. Chris Molina in the house, and we're here to say the single largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. This drive is your chance to support all the programs that you listen to throughout the year. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, we are cruising along this hour and we are just looking for six more pledges in the next 10 minutes or so. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support that the programs that you rely on every day.
Thank you. If you have already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio has been following the story of what's been happening with the overprescription of opioids at the Toma VA facility. We've been covering this story for years now, and we will continue to cover the story as it unfolds. We heard about new treatments happening there and what's happening in reaction to the overprescription of opioids. And you know that Wisconsin Public Radio will be here to provide you in-depth coverage of stories like this day in and day out, but it can only happen with your support because we are listener-supported radio. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes and make your pledge.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a really great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to $30 or $31 a month, and you can set up that monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. So make that pledge right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, we work on the honor system here. You don't have to pay for it, but when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs that you enjoy possible. So how about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount. Maybe it's $10, maybe it's $20 a month. You decide the amount. And then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got six pledges to go in the next couple minutes. Six pledges, 2 minutes, totally doable. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Such an important part of funding the programs that you enjoy.
This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. This is your radio station. If you value what what you're listening to. We need to hear from you, and we need to hear from you right now. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.